on RN or online at abc.net.au. You're with Big Ideas. I'm Paul Barclay. And staying with the theme of words and language, let's revisit a talk by Steven Pinker, featured on the program last year, also courtesy of the Free Library of Philadelphia. Pinker is perhaps best known as a cognitive scientist and professor of psychology at Harvard, but he's also chair of the usage panel for the American Heritage Dictionary and author of The Sense of Style, a Writing Guide for the 21st Century. Here's Steven Pinker.
Why is so much writing so bad, and how can we make it better? Why do we have to suffer through so much legalese, like the revocation by these regulations of a provision previously revoked, subject to savings, does not affect the continued operations? Why do we have to endure so much academese, like it is the moment of non-construction, disclosing the absentation of actuality from the concept in part through its invitation to emphasize in reading the helplessness rather than the will to power of its fall into conceptuality? Why is it so hard to set the time on a digital alarm clock? Well, there's no shortage of theories, and perhaps the most popular one is captured in this cartoon where the boss says to a tech writer, "Good start, needs more gibberish." Namely, that bad writing is a deliberate choice, that bureaucrats insist on gibberish to evade responsibility, that pasty-faced nerds get their revenge on the jocks who kicked sand in their faces in high school and the girls who turned them down for dates, that pseudo-intellectuals try to bamboozle their readers with highfalutin gobbledygook to cover up the fact that they have nothing to say. Well, this is a tempting theory, and it allows each one of us to escape blame. But in my experience, it doesn't ring true. I think good people can write bad prose. And I know plenty of scientists who do groundbreaking work on important topics. They have nothing to hide and no need to impress. And still, their writing stinks. The other popular theory is that digital media are ruining the language. Google is making us stupid. The digital age stupefies young Americans and jeopardizes our future, says a book called The Dumbest Generation. Twitter forces us to think in 140 characters. Well, I'm also skeptical of the dumbest generation theory, because for one thing, it makes a prediction that things were much better before the digital age, and those of you who were around during the 1980s no doubt can remember how great it was then. When you all remember how teenagers used to speak in fluent paragraphs, how bureaucrats wrote in plain English, and every academic article was a masterpiece in the art of the essay? Or was it the 70s? Well, maybe the 60s were better. But if you go back to the 60s, people were writing things like, "Recent graduates, including those with university degrees, seem to have no mastery of the language at all." Well, maybe it was better in the 19-teens. Well, that's when they said, "From every college in the country goes up the cry, our freshmen can't spell, can't punctuate. Every high school is in disrepair because its pupils are so ignorant of the merest rudiments." Well, maybe we should go back even further, like to 1785. "Our language is degenerating very fast. I begin to fear that it will be impossible to check it." And then there are the ancient grammar police. Said, "Oh, for crying out loud, you don't never end a sentence with a little birdie." The thing is that bad writing has always been with us, and my favorite theory starts with an observation from Charles Darwin that man has an instinctive tendency to speak, as we see in the babble of our young children, whereas no child has an instinctive tendency to bake, brew, or write. That is, speech is instinctive, but writing is and always has been hard. Your readers are unknown, invisible, inscrutable. They exist only in your imagination when you're writing. They can't react or break in or ask for clarification. So writing is an act of pretense, and writing is an act of craftsmanship. So what can we do to improve the craft of writing? Well, for many decades, this question had a simple answer. That is, you hand students this, The Iconic Elements of Style by William Strunk Jr. and his former student E.B. White. Now, there's lots of good sense in the elements of style to this day. Use definite, specific, concrete language. Write with nouns and verbs, a lovely example of itself. Put the emphatic words at the end. And, of course, the prime directive, omit needless words. Again, a beautiful example of its own advice. On the other hand, there are a number of reasons why the elements of style can't be the basis of writing advice in the 21st century. There is a lot of advice that is simply baffling. Like, the word people is not to be used with words of number in place of persons. That is, one must not say six people. Why? Well, if of six people, five went away, how many people would be left? Answer, one people. Did you follow that? By that logic, you should also never say six children or 32 teeth. How about this? To contact is vague and self-important. Do not contact people. Get in touch with them, look them up, phone them, find them, or meet them. And Strunk and White did not live to see the day of tweeting them, texting them, emailing them, instant messaging them, and so on. The problem was that to contact was a novel word in their youth. Since then, it has become entrenched in the language. It's completely unexceptionable because it serves a purpose. Namely, sometimes you don't care whether someone calls or tweets or emails. As long as they get in touch with them, to contact is the perfect word for that, and that's why it has lost any trace of sounding vague and self-important. The problem with traditional style advice is that it really consists of an arbitrary list of do's and don'ts based on the tastes and peeves of the authors. It's not based on a principled understanding of how language works, and as a result, users have no way of understanding and assimilating the advice. And as I'll show you, much of the advice is just wrong. I think we can do better today. We can base advice on writing on science and scholarship, on modern grammatical theory, which has gone well beyond the pedagogical grammars based on Latin, evidence-based dictionaries and grammars, research in cognitive science on what makes sentences easy or hard to read, and historical and critical studies of usage. And that these are the bodies of knowledge that I try to draw on in the sense of style. Style begins with a good model of effective prose. As I mentioned, writing is an unnatural act, and good style begins with a clear mental model of the communication scenario. What is your relationship to your reader? What are you trying to accomplish? My favorite answer to that question comes from a book by Francis Noël Thomas and Mark Turner called Clear and Simple as the Truth, in which they describe a particular model of communication that called classic style. The model behind classic style is that prose is a window onto the world. The writer orients the reader to something in the world that the reader can see with her own eyes. The reader and writer are equals, and the goal of the writer is to help the reader see an objective reality. The style is conversation.
Steven Pinker, chair of the Usage Panel for the American Heritage Dictionary and professor of psychology at Harvard, talking about his book, The Sense of Style. Publication details and a link to his full address on how the craft of writing can be improved have been posted on the Big Ideas homepage, abc.net.au/rn. And that's it for today's Big Ideas. I'm Paul Barclay. On behalf of the production team, thanks for your company. Bye for now.